been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Cairo. I've been there. Cairo.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Special session version of the hashtag MoEdge podcast. I'm Scott Fond, back. I guess Rachel just got tired of doing this. I don't know. So I got
tired of me, yeah. Probably. I'm the common factor here.
Well, we're joined, of course, by Becky Third Red and Truly Agreed, finally passed Loman. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be. The Capitol isn't quiet, right? I was worried it'd be hard to find guests for the podcast, but it looks like we have our choosing.
Oh, yeah. We went A-lister. I would call you Democrat operative, but I just kind of think you're more of a public policy operative now. Jack Cardetti, Phelps County's own. When I told you we're gonna do like a Phelps County episode, some people thought David Steelman, most thought Jack Cardetti. Though, welcome to the hashtag Mullidge podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. We should just be riding around in a pickup truck right now.
We should have done this in the white trash Tahoe,
exactly
in the back of a pickup truck.
I will post a picture of the white trash Tahoe that I drive in the summer in Jeff City. It's in front of the Capitol right now. It's too big to tow. I learned that you can't actually, because I had so many parking tickets from last summer that when I went to drive it this year, I was actually called by the city because I'm a
too
frequent
big
offender. Obviously, it's from Butler County, so I have a lift kit on it and mud tires, you can't actually tow that with the city, so they're going to have to call in another truck. So they thought they
Yeah, I mean, this is the big difference between Washington and Jeff City, right? Washington, too big to fail. Jeff City, too big to tow.
Too big to tow.
These are the issues we deal with each and every day, guys.
Missouri Times social media feed, you can see your own photograph of the White Trash Tahoe. That next time we have Jack Cardetti on, we will do this live from the White Trash Tahoe. It is a somber podcast, though. This is the last podcast for our own Travis Zimpfer. He is heading off to Colorado. He swears me it's not about the pot. It would be for me, but he is heading off to graduate school. I would love to be sitting somewhere at the University of Colorado, big time class, and you're telling stories about the Missouri legislature and no one will believe you.
No one will believe me. It won't even be... I'm not going to take fiction workshops for that reason, because I don't think that any of the stories I come up with, people are just going to say that, you know, oh, that's too unbelievable. You can't actually, that couldn't have actually happened.
The question is in your stories, is Rob Schaff the protagonist or the antagonist? Like, who is the hero?
He's
or the
most
heroine?
Entertaining character,
sure,
probably.
But,
but no, I'm still a reporter, so I don't know if I can quite say protagonist or antagonist.
he's a pro into the end. That's what you got to love about Travis.
Well, I think the one thing they might not teach at some hippy-dippy college that we do learn at the Missouri Times, we thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce and Republic Services, for allowing us to bring the podcast to you. And we will start with special session. Jack Cardetti, you are a veteran of a couple special sessions. When you heard the call go out Thursday, have you ever heard the governor insult the legislature in the call?
It is unusual. The number one rule in calling a special session is you don't call one unless it's going to be successful, right? Unless you get something done.
Except for China Hub, obviously.
Yeah, well, obviously that didn't work out. But most governors that call a special session expect to get a bill done.
And
therefore, they usually are asking legislators for votes. You know,
well, let's back up. How many has there been specials that nothing gets done? What's the history?
All right,
because this is my first special
Becky,
ever.
You
so
really,
you older guys experience.
I got to tell the story.
Do you really want to
yes.
nerd out? This isn't actually a special session. Is when the lawmakers call themselves back in. This is extraordinary. Session.
So let me ask you this. I want to relive a fun time. Back when your boss called my boss, Rod Jettenbeck, into special session when you worked for Governor Holden, he vetoed the budget. That did not go well, if I recall.
Yeah, so, well, it actually, in 2003, I was working in Governor Holden's office. That's when the Republicans attempted to get Medicaid cuts through. Matt Blunt obviously
and
ended up doing it.
Balancing the
they tried to cut schools, colleges, and Medicaid. And Governor Holden had to cut a bunch of those. Early in his term, and I love Bob Holden. At some point he said, we will not do this anymore. Called them into special session. both of them were kind of at a loggerhead, and then actually it was the Bush administration that, in the depths of the recession, threw a bunch of money at states and kind of let everybody walk away unscathed. We got a budget and didn't
have Bob Holden might be the foremost statesman in Missouri.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody that everyone respects.
What I love about Bob Holden grew up in Birch Tree, Missouri. I don't think the first house he grew up in had running water. He made it to be governor of the state of Missouri. He did not do that on his own. He was always appreciative of that. He had great schools, good healthcare system, and it got to a point where he wasn't going to cut the things he really believed in anymore. That was an interesting political dynamic.
Jack, can I ask you one question, though? There's another governor that used to point out, how many rooms is a schoolhouse in Birch Tree?
I don't think there are rooms, plural.
Yeah, if you go back to the Carney administration, you'll remember many, many stories about the one-room schoolhouse. Who's also from Birch Tree. Has there ever been a per capita, a Missouri town produced more governors than Birch Tree?
I think that's it.
I think they hold the record. It's a great sign. And then let's fast forward up to 2010, a very successful special session, probably the most successful one that I've ever heard of, when they recruited Clay Como Ford plant in.
Yeah, and again, what made that successful politically, if you look back, it's not the fact they got a bill passed, because there are 6 million Missourians. They live very busy lives. Sadly, most of them aren't even going to listen to this podcast, Scott.
What?
That's crazy.
Becky, it's kind of crazy to think. Most of them don't follow what goes on in Jeff City day to day. So passing a bill in and of itself isn't a political victory. What's a victory is if it actually gets a real-world result. And in that case, Ford announced it was staying, it was expanding. GM followed that up with an announcement in St. Charles County that they would expand. And you look back, and obviously it was the wonderful political strategy and management of tight line strategies that got Jay Nixon reelected. But I think that day that Ford announced that they were expanding Missouri, probably sealed the reelection.
So what happens if nothing happens? If we pass this bill and this company doesn't come, there's not 450 jobs, then what then?
The PSC has a tool going forward they can, but I think really the most impressive thing I've seen this week is how those listening to this that want to get into being a big time shot like Jack Curry, look at how he's always on message. Thanks to Tightline Strategies. Would you say Clay Como, though, seriously, is the biggest accomplishment of the Nixon administration?
I think it sealed his reelection right there. It really put him in touch with, it got Jay Nixon on a message that he loves and that he's fighting for.
It works for Democrats, too.
You know, he likes to fight for people that wear metal in their shoes and bring a lunch pail.
I actually got dinged in the metal detector today because of my boots.
You know, that was one of the most ironic things during the right to work debate this year. That was the biggest backlog in the security line I saw. Is because the people coming here to advocate against it had metal in their boots. If that doesn't tell you you're not actually out there doing the right thing for the middle class, I'm not sure what.
I have metal in my high heels. Does that count? I'm a Missourian.
Did you get dinged in the metal detector? Did you?
If I say no,
I think that's chauvinist, right?
I was trying to set you up to.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I saw that.
Hey, Donald Trump got elected. All that hippie bullshit you guys.
Well, I mean, I mean, if the Russians help you, you can always get elected.
Always on message, Jack Harden.
You know what? I think you should open up a counseling firm for these poor snowflakes that think Donald Trump's going to get ran out of office. No. Capitalism won. You can have your feelings back in 7.5 years. This is, now it's the time to create jobs, cut the government, just like a capitalist.
I agree. Donald Trump, he's going to stay in office and bring down an entire party with him.
Could it possibly be worse than Barack Obama brought the Democrat Party down?
I'm sorry.
We have an 8x8 office. The Democrat Legislative Caucus is going to meet in here. We have to stop. No, I'm just kidding. I remember back before Barack Obama, there was a whole lot. Now there's not as many. Let's talk about this special session. It was brought in because there's an iron smelter that seems to be a legitimate prospect. It was said in the Post-Dispatch. It was an Indian firm wants to put about 500 jobs in. The governor, obviously, this would be a big, anytime you do this, whether it's Jay Nixon or Eric Greitens, this is an opportunity. This is why you get elected, is to do something like this. He called a special session. It was two parts. One was to update the grid. The other was to pass some enabling legislation for the PSC to negotiate a rate. You know a lot about electric policy. It's always been the PSC's contention. They cannot set a rate lower than cost for anyone, no matter what the situation is. It looks like the House, it was an interesting thing. I believe the votes were in the Republican caucus, at least, to pass, even on their own, grid modernization as well. The House decided to just go with part of this so the Senate could do it and they wouldn't have to come back. There was a huge premium put on not coming back. I don't know. Maybe you could speak about the legislation, but as a matter of parliamentary procedure, I thought the House shouldn't have gave a damn about having to come back. Special sessions take up to 60 days for a reason. The founding fathers give you 60 days to get this done. Why not do it right in 2 weeks as opposed to rushed in one day?
Well, and Senator Eagle just said on the floor, I know this is hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we are talking about millions of dollars in this bill.
And
so I think that goes to your point, what's the rush?
Yeah, but I don't think the House leaders make that decision in a vacuum. I think they hear from the second floor that there were two parts of the call, and one of them was much more important than the other part. I don't think they make that in a vacuum, and I think that Todd Richardson does a fairly masterful job of leading his caucus, right? There is
absolutely
part of the problem when you get a caucus that's too big. I never studied science in college or much of anything, actually. That's why I'm a political
consultant. Shout out to St. James High School.
But there's a scientific term when a cell gets too big, it starts to divide among itself, right? And that's what happens when a caucus gets too big. And Todd, by doing some of the little things he does, keeps that caucus together, right? There's a special session. It's called on Monday. He gets his people out of here by Wednesday. They're home. They're home for Memorial Day. The Senate clearly wasn't going to go along with both sides of that.
Is that the right reason to make that? Is that really a very good determining factor?
Look,
to get it done in one day and to do it where the Senate can... I think when you try to reverse engineer this stuff, I mean, the way legislation is passed, legislative bodies forever and a day, the Senate usually sends the House something to just take it or leave it. The House trying to reverse engineer, you don't know what the Senate's going to do.
But, Scott, the Senate, there's no reason the Senate can't add back in the grid modernization. And guess what? If they did and they passed both parts of the governor's call, don't you think the House would pick it up and pass it? And that's the that's why Todd Richardson is really good
at
what he does.
That's a fair point. No, I see.
You know, he hasn't, by taking it out on his House side, he hasn't precluded it from passing.
That's why we bring in premium guests like Jack Cardetti right here on the
Hashtag Moments podcast. Onus is going to be on the Senate on this issue. He's put it on the Senate, and now they get to decide which way they're going to go forward.
I think no matter what they did, they were going to amend that bill just out of the it may not have been, and you never know what the governor's conversation was with his company. 1 week later was tough, and then for the governor to do dark money ads during it, and then for them to insult, I mean, these are, at some point, don't you think grown men get tired of getting insulted publicly? And I don't know that any House members do, but there's probably some senators. How long can you just go insult Mike Kehoe before you get his temper up?
You know, generally, politicians try to get other people to like them. It's and try to be thought of better.
You won a lot of races. And the tactics
here are interesting. And what it tells me is that Governor Greitens a little less concerned about his standing in Missouri and in this building, and more concerned about building some type of national profile, such as a Scott Walker or whatnot, where he's known as not just somebody that gets something passed or whatever, but somebody that does it in aggressive, manner. And I think that's interesting. I think it's really early to be making that call. And I think there's some risk in that strategy.
How many times can you call Glenn Coltmire a child? I mean, Glenn Coltmire is a successful person. He's a little bit like Doug Liebler. Doug Liebler said, I've actually done the things that the governor talks about. How can you just insult Glenn Coltmire before he gets tired of it?
Well, and the problem that the governor's office has is they're doing that at the same time that they don't have completely clean hands in the dark money on the ethics. I mean, one of the reasons I think Eric Greitens got elected is because he said, I'm going to reform Jeff City, I'm going to drain the swamp or whatever. And I don't know why he doesn't sometime soon here say, hey, look, we're all these contributors to all these different PACs or whatever, we're going to disclose those all. Because Missouri voters are fairly desensitized to large $1 million checks coming across the candidates.
I think his election is proof of that.
Yeah, they just don't. I mean, that doesn't rankle them anymore. And so, but the problem, and so being transparent about it, I think, would really give him the high ground on a bunch of these issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
As a Democrat, as a partisan, that's the last thing Democrats want to see is Eric Greitens come out of this and announce, "Hey, well, I'm going to be completely."
That's the masterstroke. I look at Rob
Shaw. That's the brilliant.
He came out and said, "You know what? If renting a room from a lobbyist, I'll admit I'm going to stop." Scott Fitzpatrick, last day of session, he let a bill go to the floor and get voted on this fund sweep that he didn't agree with. Everybody thought that's what a leader looked like. Now, if Eric Greitens were to do that, then everybody in the Capitol, Republican or Democrat, should probably. That would be the kind of move that that he's really got the hang of it. And if you're on the other side, you should be worried.
And that's why these special sessions have higher stakes, right? Because if Naranda jobs come back, if Naranda plant opens and the governor's able to say...
The governor is a winner no matter what, right?
He's an absolute winner. I mean,
and deservingly so.
And deservingly so. If the steel plant, smaller jobs or whatever come through, he probably still gets some winner. But it's not of the magnitude of a Naranda. I mean,
you take 900 jobs, which is roughly Naranda's peak, but 900 or 1,000. You bring back 600 of those jobs. I was at this event.
Oh, sure. If you bring 600,
it was the best political thing I've ever been to because these people were not political. These were regular people. I would venture 90 to 95% of them had never ever been to a rally. I'd venture half of them didn't even vote for Eric Grimes or maybe vote at all. That was real passion.
It's hard to articulate. There are 435 congressional districts in the United States. The 8th Congressional District, the Boot Hill that we're talking about, is one of the 10 poorest in the entire country. And the reason it is there's some large landowners down there and very wealthy families, and then there are poor people. There is a real lack of a middle class, and that's what hurts that economy. It's hurt for decades. It's getting worse, not better. Naranda is the middle class jobs. Where else can you not have a college degree, make $80,000 a year, support your family, and send your kids, who eventually, you know, come back and either work.
And if not for this bill, then what?
Yeah, which is why it is a big victory
if
that opens back up.
Look,
if you don't, on the flip side of that, you've spent political capital. You've hurt feelings. You've done all of these things, and you really don't
hurt
have
feelings.
Anything.
Is putting well, mildly,
you've attacked. The House bill is an unqualified dominating win for Doug Leibler and Garrett Romine. This is exactly what they said they wanted. The governor holds rallies not just at that plant, but all throughout the 25th Senatorial District. It looks like the governor's on pack to sign exactly what Doug Leibler wanted after attacking him about blocking something. So, I mean, clearly the governor has some value in Doug's position because it looks like he's on path to sign a bill that's exactly his position.
But does that make it to voters and our constituents? I think that's what really matters. Inside the building, we know that, but do they realize that Doug Leibler got his way there? I don't know.
I think everybody in every industry emulates winners. Banking, politics, being a rich PR mogul like Jack, you emulate winners. And I think Eric Greitens proved that a lot of people don't pay attention to stuff. I think one thing you're seeing the state Senate realize is, well, if they don't pay attention to stuff, then okay, I'm going to do what I want to
do
too.
Right.
And it's like Eric Greitens probably had one of the best primary campaigns ever, based not that much on issues, about cleaning up stuff. I thought the Howitzer ad was the best ad I've seen in Missouri politics since McCaskill's ads helping Aiken. I mean, he knew in his gut where the Missouri voters were, and they weren't into details. I think you're seeing some state senators realize they're not in details. And a lot of these folks, if you're Doug Leibler, what are you going to beat me up on? I'm here for 3 years, and it doesn't really matter what you do. I'm going to do what I want. And so maybe you're seeing the other side of term limits in second-term senators. What are you going to do? Quick prediction, though. Eric Greitens, even though you could criticize some of his tactics, this bill passes, they break ground on a factory of any quotient of number of hundreds of jobs. He's a huge winner, right?
Yeah, but it's that second part. Nobody remembers Bombardier. If you'll remember, there was this French-Canadian airplane something-something company. We had a special session for it. The bill passed. They never came. No one gets any credit for that. That doesn't help. In fact, a lot of people were attacked for that.
But even some portion of jobs, I still think he does, because you can come out and say, but for this special session, there would have been no jobs. Yeah, I think you can.
Look, this hat. If it's a Ford, if they end up coming, you win. If it's a Bombardier, you get almost no political credit because voters think, oh, they're up there fighting again in Jeff City. What's wrong with that place?
Yeah, I think it's a wash to the voters, but it's a negative to other people. I think the governor very intelligently picked the right special session to start with. If he's going to roll out 6 or 8 special sessions. Wow, the Senate I see today, that'd be rough. I think with if he rolls out a special session on the fund sweep to kind of clean that up, I think the Senate adjourns. I think in caucus leadership said the Senate would just show up and adjourn. So I think you can – everybody says jobs, and the state needs them, and I think there's a duty to the state. He'll come out of this with a bill. If he comes out of this with a factory, it won't matter. he'll be successful. And maybe he needs that factory before he calls another special session for momentum.
You know what I always think is just really interesting about these going after these jobs that are competing in multiple states is I've seen governor after governor, both parties, people I knew, governors I didn't know, they always come into office saying, I'm not going to play that game, the tax credit game, the throwing money at companies anymore. We're going to do a different way of economic development. And guess what? The first big deal that comes across their desk where they're competing against two or three other states, they are more invested than they've ever been in their life. Saw it with Governor Nixon and Boeing. You see it with Governor Blunt and Bombardier. Now you're seeing it here. It's just, that's fascinating to me from a sort of psychological level. These governors really get bought into that, regardless of what their thinking was before.
You know, Jag, you're a big-time Columbia PR expert. I'm just a simple hillbilly from West Butler County.
Yeah, King Cardetti.
But it looks to me like I know some Republicans that are anti-incentives, period. If they think it's an incentive, free market should work. You probably know some Democrats that feel the same way. That money, that golden money is for these wonderful bureaucrats.
Sure.
And we need more cubicles.
And Senator Koenig just said on the floor, if you need subsidies, that's not a good business. For your business to survive, then that's not a good business plan, right?
And so, but there was also grown-up land where statesmen like Mike Kehoe and Ron Richard live in, that if you're going to attract major economic development projects, you're going to have to offer incentives, and you just have to grow up. I wonder, the center holds, right? You don't see a time where Missouri says, we're not going to do incentives and we're not going to compete.
No, I think, yeah, it's the difference between, you campaign and, what is that, the politics and prose and all of that. Mm-hmm. This is, I don't think anybody would set up to design an economic development system like we have today, but to just unilaterally disarm from it and say, we're not going to play that game, not practical, and probably you'd lose politically doing so.
Well, over time, when your economy tanks, you do lose politically, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I thought Eric Greitens' best electoral message was, we're not growing our economy. We lose congressional districts, which is the easy way to show the population loss. You look at the Boot Hill, I think the 1st of September, the end of August, is the D-Day where the unemployment runs out if you worked at Noranda. So you have about, at the time when they were down about 700 jobs, mm-hmm. 700 unemployment, you're going to see people moving. When I was at that rally, folks, grandparents cried thinking about their grandkids that were about to leave. They know that, a lot of those folks are in the process of moving to find jobs now because they want their kids to get in the start of school.
And guess what? The house they were trying to sell, that they were counting on to sell, is going to be worth less money.
Half, maybe.
Yeah, and it's just, there's an economic, landslide from some of this. And so I think, he gets a ton of credit if the jobs end up coming there. If not, he spent some political capital. That's the tough thing about being governor. The thing about being governor is that your name ID is usually in excess of 90%. The people who know who the president pro tem is in the state of Missouri, the voters, probably about 6 or 7%. And that's
maybe
probably
aggressive.
High.
Yeah,
it's probably high, right? And so anytime that you're a governor, that you set up these special sessions and these sort of confrontations with the legislature, you have so much more to lose than the legislature does. Because everyone knows you, no one knows them, and if they know the legislator, they know their local legislator and they like them. And so you have a lot more to lose in these things than the legislature ever does. And that's the tough part politically. And so you own Jeff City, for good or for bad. And that's why making these decisions becomes more difficult.
It's as plain to me as two flag stores in St. James that there is very little value that's came out of the Dark Money Committee for the governor. You're a political professional. I think everybody knows there are committees that would be classified as dark money. Dark money is you don't know who gives them the money. Give me what that room is like if you're on the governor's staff and somebody says, at the beginning, let's set up this 501c3 or 4 element OP. What's the upside to that? Why if you're on, try to put your hat on being on Team Greitens for a second. What do you advocate? What do you get out of this?
Well, so ideally what you get is some air cover and some support outside the building for your initiatives inside the building. Bill Clinton, when he failed back in 93, 94 on healthcare, said he'd never, ever run a huge legislative initiative again without bringing in outside groups to give him air cover and support. And there's a lot to be said with that.
In 93 was an outside group like an AARP?
Yeah. Back then
they
were less
sophisticated,
than they are today. Today you see all of these different groups, that go and support legislative agendas or whatever. The problem is when... how you get that money, and if that group themselves becomes part of the controversy, it doesn't do you any good.
Do you think, now, outside groups, did he mean AARP or the American Medical Association? Did he mean his own group that raises him money. I guess, obviously, when you're in the media, you like transparency. I think it makes sense because I've always been like you. Outside of, I don't even know the race. I don't think donors have lost anybody a notable race I've seen in Missouri. Jay Nixon took enormous checks while advocating for limits, but he didn't unilaterally disarm. Right. Chris Koster and Eric Greitens took huge checks both. I didn't see any blowback whatsoever. I don't think the people care. So yeah,
people
when you
are used to it.
When you break it down, the value of it doesn't seem worth it, especially to a governor claiming being more ethical than the legislature. I also think it's a very easy crutch for folks to not do ethics reform because, I mean, I wonder, a quick prediction, I've watched Eric Greitens adjust his primary campaign strategy, bring in new people that were effective. I watched him adjust the general election campaign strategy to get in line with Trump. The most probably popular presidential candidate is Lincoln in the state of Missouri. I watched Parker Brighton, Travis, since you've been here. He was clearly, there was a strategy of not returning phone calls.
Yep.
That changed. That's adjusted.
It's adjusted. I don't know if it's changed completely. I'd say it's more of a 90-degree turn than a 180.
But I think he deserves some credit. He looked at a situation and adjusted it. Does he adjust this? Is New Missouri as closely tied to him going forward?
Well, here's one other factor I think will make that decision. If you've watched over the last week or so, there's a new organization called Clean Missouri out there, and they are raking in campaign checks for a ballot initiative that would reinstate contribution limits and do a bunch of ethics work, right? Which ensures...
Who's writing it?
Well, Sean Nicholson's the
Don't you
the
think Fred Sauer meant well... But this is really hard to write these things.
It is. Absolutely. And it takes real professional people doing it.
Whether you agree with it or not, Fred Sauer deserves credit for doing something that I think his heart was in the right place.
Absolutely.
This is hard stuff.
I think he gets an A for an effort and a D for implementation. You know? And I think what you have here in Clean Missouri is a group that's going to be well-funded and is very smart. You know, the people looking at this do a good job when they do these things. And so that almost makes sure that over the next 2 years, that ethics debate, even if they're not having it in the building, that ethics debate is going to be front and center in Missouri. And so that's one other thing the governor and his political team have to look at is, hey, is it worth it? Especially with that being on the ballot in November of 18, it's going to pass if it gets there. We've got to maybe make a shift here.
Interesting. I think I have a lot of respect for Carl Bearden. He was at that special session over the budget back in the day under Governor Holden. I get where he's coming from. I personally don't think donors are harassed. I mean, there's millions of Missourians on a list of donors to legislative and state races. Mm-hmm. I don't see people harassing them. But I do see their point. I think it changes when you... In Missouri, we set up a way for politicians to raise money through the Ethics Commission. Mm-hmm. Setting up a dark money thing that closely tied to a politician, I wonder if the governor can really, when he has time to catch his breath after bill review and bill signing, I wonder if he can really say that's giving him the outcomes he's looking for. And I wonder if you might see a switch then.
I think it would be a little bit different, too, if he didn't have the closeness of ties. Like, if this was just a campaign or just a group that was just really enthusiastic about what he was doing for the state, then I think it would be a little bit different conversation. But having Austin Chambers being your chief or one of your chief political advisors and also serving on this committee, I think that really discredits what Greitens is
the
saying about
it.
Yeah, there's no coordination.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Nothing,
I mean,
if
anybody that believes there's not coordination, I have some prime oceanfront property in West Butler County.
Yeah, and saying there's no coordination violates one of my pre-Trump rules of politics, which is never... never deny that the sky is blue or the grass is green, right? Now you can, quickly take that topic and then go ahead and turn it into something else and try to get off that topic and onto some more fertile ground. But you can't ever deny the obvious.
I'm glad you learned something.
You know, now Donald Trump he denies the obvious.
WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, and so I'm probably wrong on that fact, but I'm going to stay with that.
Times change. I mean, so we broke down the Missouri Times. You know, this session was too complicated for winners and losers. We broke it down by World Series winners, NLCS, and I guess what's the junior circuit have, an ALCS?
Well,
I forget.
Is that one where they like someone else gets to bat in your place and they don't have to play in the field?
It's really effeminate. I'm not sure what they do there. I did see, though, there were some activists this week that after there was litter taped up to Gary Romine and Doug Lively's door and the governor's, some anti-Disney hitter activists began to tape messages to Jake Humble's office door about banning the DH in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
No, that was always Jason Kander's answer when they would come after him and say, hey, you're for contribution limits and all this, and yet you still take, you know, huge checks. He says, look, I don't like the DH either.
Is Jason Kander anti-DH?
Yeah, he said, I don't like the DH either.
Respect.
I don't like DH either, but I sure as heck don't want the Royals batting their pitcher.
That just means Kander's, you know, his constituency, though, in all fairness.
Yeah, it was always his go-to line about it. He didn't want respect. Royals batting...
So here's where we got him. You knock him down, Becky, and you knock him down, Jack. Scott Fitzpatrick, World Series. Budget chair.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Absolutely. I think allowing it to go to a vote on the last minutes of session.
Just shows.
He's an adult in the room always. I feel like he had a difficult road to start with a $500 million budget.
Yes.
And a late budget.
Right. Yeah.
I think making tough decisions... He left with not that many people mad at him. I think everybody respects the work he did.
Absolutely. The budget's one of the toughest things to get right in this building. If you look at it before Jay Nixon, but the two governors before that, Holden and Blunt, probably lost re-election because of the budget. Nixon, because he took it on up front and was aggressive about it, balanced the budget without raising taxes, probably won his re-election. It's tough. Fitzpatrick not only did help himself out, he helped his entire party out. There'll be about three people in this podcast that remember John T. Russell. And he's very much a John Russell sort of budget person, and I think he was impressive.
Well, I do also think a John Russell person in the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring the Hashtag Bull Edge podcast. Jason Holzman, though, different guy. Used to probably maybe cater to leadership a little bit, tried to always make a friend. This year he made relationships with a different set, and I thought had a heck of a session. Touched more legislation than most anybody in the legislature.
Yeah, the renter tax credit and a lot of that issue. I mean, part of what he did is he chose his issues. I think legislators, part of the problem with legislators is they believe they're executives where they got to have their hand in everything. And it doesn't usually work out well. What works out better is take one or two issues, dominate those issues, know that anybody that's going to touch those has to come through you, and you have a lot more power.
I think aside from maybe Rob Schaff, too, he's been one of the most vocal senators about the ethical concerns that some people have with the governor. And he kind of echoed a lot of what the House Democrats did whenever they presented their ethics legislation package very early in the session, which was kind of to highlight what the governor has said and how it's different than what he's actually doing. And I think that's something that he's done a lot this year.
We have Senator Kehoe and Speaker Rich. I got to put them together. I mean, I think they're always the level heads in the room. I thought it was interesting the last day of session. People thought it was like apoplectic and awful. That was the way it works. I mean, I've seen it. There's way worse in the Senate. I mean, there was times when at the first part of this decade where people were sharing the F word on the floor. I mean, it's a different. I thought they followed the rules, and I thought the Senate held together pretty well. And I think both them, you know, they had probably the best session for Republicans ever. I mean, I remember when Todd's dad was in office, a dream of half the stuff they did this session would have been utopia. And so I give both in. What do you think?
Yeah, I think what they get hurt by is the continued attacks from the second floor on the legislature hurt them as much as anybody.
It's just hurt their credibility with their colleagues.
Because I think Greitens would have come out of regular session and say, look at all these things we passed. We wanted to get these done forever. We got them done. This is a success. Go home. And we'll see you next January to do more stuff. I think they're in much better shape politically. I think if there's any knock on them, I think the governor has knocked them as much as any Democrat has.
Maybe more. Lieutenant Governor Parson, I thought he did a heck of a job that Friday. Whatever you think the Senate rules say or I do, the Senate staff, the professional nonpartisan staff, and the Lieutenant Governor agreed on what the rules said about how you recognize people, and it was contentious, but it was orderly. And they ended up doing it. The Republicans got what they wanted anyway.
I agree. It was complicated. It was nuanced. But I thought Governor Parson handled himself very well, respectably, much like he did when he was a senator. So that wasn't that surprising.
Jack, when you think Missouri, don't you just think Mike Parson?
Well, I mean, I think Gene Oakley.
Well, there you go.
You know, besides that, maybe Mark Mike Parson.
Dan Meehan and Tracy King. I mean, who had a better year than them?
You know, I think it goes back to the election. They were... A lot of the Republican groups obviously came with Koster, Farm Bureau, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They stuck with Greitens, and they were rewarded for it.
Ryan Silvey passed several bills, kind of set himself up as almost the real minority leader some days. I thought he moved a lot of legislation. Right now, as we do this, this bill could have went to economic development. This in special session could have went to commerce. It's in commerce. I saw at the end after all this, and this speaks highly of Ron Richard. For all the things Ryan Silvey said about it, I think some people thought even a little too hot of criticism directed at Ron Richard. He took his fun sweep idea, adopted it, ran with it, and complimented him on the floor.
Well, the thing about Senator Silvey is it's not just that he was the thorn in the side of leadership and stopped some stuff he didn't like. At the end of the day, the guy got real ID passed. You know, later on this year, when I go to get on an airplane, hopefully taking a Lyft or an Uber to there, because I don't have to
does that work?
Because I don't have to deal with the taxi cab.
When you ride in private
anymore.
Jets, Jack, how does that work for you?
You know, when I fly those into the Raleigh National Airport. You know, the fact is...
Isn't that the Raleigh St. James
The fact
airport?
Is, what Ryan Silvey got passed will probably affect more Missourians on a regular basis.
And
what
more constituents reached out about than anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, you've heard everybody say
deal.
That. This is what constituents care about. This affects their daily lives. Not some insurance provision in law, but getting
so
on
he
an
killed
airplane.
A lot of the stuff he didn't like, and he got the one thing he really wanted
to
pass. It's kind of
like
Jason
Crowell. He was just trying to make tomorrow a little bit better than today. Just a little bit. Well, what we like to do to try to make tomorrow a bit better than today is Becky has 5 questions for you.
Oh, this scares me a little bit.
Maybe
love life.
Now.
We
maybe,
talk
well,
about.
You can be a little more honest than sometimes legislators. So, as a kid, little Jack Cardetti, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Jack Cardetti. That's what I wanted to be. Big Jack Cardetti.
I mean, for me, it's all based on what you get to wear every day, right? So, I wanted to be a dentist because you get to wear scrubs. Obviously, not smart enough. Didn't do well enough. Second, political consultant because jeans and blazer.
I'd like for
so
you.
So, we
to...
look back in your homework in the third grade. It would say political consultant.
I'd like for you to validate the fact that long before Eric Grimes was in politics, long before he was even a Republican, I was wearing white trash clothes to the Capitol. I am a white trash fashion innovator, and I think you could validate that.
Yeah, you wore jeans
inappropriate.
You wore
jeans
inappropriate.
Back
jeans
in the day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Before jeans were cool.
Yeah, you know.
Terry Spielers kicked me out of the Senate before because I was dressed too white trash. I know all. People think now I see him in the hallway and some kid will be like, oh, you're dressed like the governor. I'm like, no. You're clearly new here.
Yeah, no.
I know back in the day. Why? I think I need to get a business card. Fat white trash fashion innovator.
Although the problem is when my kids try to explain what I do for a living, it doesn't go well. Like my Leo, his preschool teacher asked him what I do for a living, and he said firefighter. So there we go.
He said,
you know, a lot of kids have to lie about what their parents do.
Did you probably
do.
Put out fires? I mean, that's maybe where he got it, right? Put out fires.
I don't know.
That's what George Strait probably said he did, you know, back in the day. They called him the fireman.
God. This is hysterical. Second question. You are on a desert island. What member of the General Assembly or any statewide office holder, who's on the desert island with you?
Current one? I mean, formally, it'd be Clint Zweifel. Clint.
If there's a nicer person right? in politics than Bob Hold, it probably would be Clint.
Yeah, I mean, because what you want on a desert island setting is somebody, like, smart, honest, ethical, all the things that, you know...
They're going to try to kill you and
yeah,
sleep,
exactly.
Like that.
You
that's
know,
important.
You don't want somebody killing you in your sleep as a general rule of thumb anyway.
Yeah,
but
right.
on a desert island, really. And
that's
so I think
that you
Clinton's wife will clearly...
Island or not. Okay, it's current member, though. Current member of the General Assembly.
Current member of the General Assembly. I kind of in that same vein...
Jeff Pope.
Elijah Haar might not be bad.
Yeah.
In the same, if you made me take a
won't
Republican,
kill you on your sleep.
Yeah, I'd maybe take him.
I was going Linda Black, but just whatever you want to do.
What is your favorite food? What's Jack Cardetti's favorite food?
You mean which type of pizza is my favorite food?
Which type of pizza is your favorite type of pizza?
Yeah, Shakespeare's.
Shakespeare's
pizza. I would have thought you'd say eating Republicans for breakfast.
Shakespeare's, a Butcher's Burger maybe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, disagree. Both overhyped, overrated.
I mean,
Shakespeare's maybe a little bit.
Shakespeare's,
I
think both are good.
Oh,
I'm
the
trendy
Columbia people in this room is suffocating.
I can't like a restaurant that doesn't take a credit card. It's 2017.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to do a drop-in here for Sean Rhodes. Twin Bridges here in Jeff City is outstanding. You can just pick anything on the menu, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of
it. It's in the bottom of an old, hollowed-out gas station. It's got really only neon light. It's perfect. Feel right at home.
Yeah, Fast Eddie's Bon Air as well. Is
that is true.
My favorite promo is
Mike
Shannon talking about Fast Eddie's is probably my favorite.
I would. You know what would be great? We talked last time I did the podcast, but I saw Rent. One time in a box beside Mike Shannon in a box. Yeah. Watching Mike Shannon watch Rent was one of the funnest things I've ever seen in my life. I don't think he clearly got they were sick till the very end.
No.
It was the funniest thing.
Mike Shannon told me the other day, Scott Fahn watching Rent. was probably one of the funniest things.
You know, for like a split second there when I thought you were serious.
Watch Rent.
I was about to hug you.
Sometime when we're not in a podcast, I will tell you a story of Jay Nixon. You know, he'd every once in a while do an inning, you know, on the radio with Shannon, whatever. And we'd been out on the field ahead of time doing a first pitch thing. And then he went to ask Mike Shannon if he could get a water from his fridge. And that hilarity ensued there. Because the fridge was stocked, but not necessarily in water.
Yeah, I started to say.
Yeah.
Wow, did he say, is that for your wife or something? Weird.
Question four. What, in your opinion, was the best bill that the legislature passed this session?
Well, obviously, it would be Chalupa Freedom.
Chalupa Freedom. Yeah. I agree.
It was the fact that, I mean, I flew into the St. Louis airport last weekend, and until that bill takes effect, I cannot get a Lyft or Uber.
You can't even get a Lyft?
No. Can't get a Lyft or Freedom. So
you have to walk to like an off-site location.
Yeah, you have to go. Yeah.
Pick you up.
Exactly. So I wonder how.
So
this,
the fact come August 28th, I can do that.
Like the one place they do actually have cabs is at the airport. But I have tried to get an Uber at the airport, and I can tell.
They watch your friend or your family. Yeah,
they know something's up.
They know what's up.
And they have people watching for it.
Yeah, they'll ticket. It's just
the government's so wasteful. You know what? You know what bill they passed? There's all of them. Every one of them.
That was too much.
The state government could shut down for 6 months, and there wouldn't anybody in West Butler County know it, except there wouldn't be anybody bugging them about
hunting
deer.
We talked about the last podcast. The least amount of bills in modern history that have been sent. Isn't that a good
thing? If the legislature has bills, they should pay them.
Less
laws. Not pass them.
Last question. What would your superpower be if you could have one?
What would my superpower be?
What's your superpower?
Huh. Well, you know.
An idea, but
what's Scott Fonz?
Yeah,
oh, well, being a white trash fashion innovator, clearly, duh.
That's a superpower.
I started a fashion trend in Cole County. It's been taken over
by everybody. It's blown up.
That's what would yours be?
Reading people's minds.
Reading people's minds.
I'd be, you know, I'm a lobbyist.
Yeah, I don't think, Becky, you don't want to read people's minds.
No. But here's the thing: I don't want to hear. I want to be able to selectively turn it on and off.
Yeah, you'd want to do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I want to be as tall as Becky.
Okay.
So that'd probably be the number one.
That's not going to happen for you.
I know, it's not.
How tall are you?
You know what's sad?
Do you say every guy says he's 6'10", right? If you're not, if you're shorter than, or 6 feet tall. If you're below 6 feet, every guy will add up.
Yeah, I mean, I say.
So you say you're 6 feet, but you're really 5'10".
No, I'm 5'9", and I say I'm 5'10".
But it,
right.
But,
oh, so you were only getting an extra inch.
I'm the tallest Cardetti in history. The tallest Cardetti ever.
And you people install flagpoles, which are tall.
Yeah, so at one point...
The tallest Cardetti ever.
For all you viewers out there, at one point when I was growing up in St. James, we had more flagpole companies than stoplights. that's an odd ratio.
Right? I've been to both of them, actually. Shout out to Charles Skoda. As he posted up out there.
Is this the first time Chuck Skoda's been mentioned on the podcast?
It might be the first Charles Skoda job here, as it
should
be.
Shout out to Charles. Love you, buddy.
Top Gun. But let me just, before we go, I can offer you and everyone listening that wears the Scott Fun fashion look. You can. If you are at like a 5'9", 5'10", you can put a lift in there. That boot
really
might pop you up 6 foot. Just putting it out there.
You'll ping the metal detectors, but you'll...
For another 5 weeks.
Charles Skoda once told me that
not a tall man.
He was the fighter pilot with the least ego I've ever met.
They must be some very... I will tell you that we'll just drop a
which
Charles.
I think may have been true.
We got to drop one Charles Skoda story in this though. When the best Charles Skoda story is this Navy pilot that had killed all these MiGs or whatever. Yeah. He comes out for a softball practice one night, and Jennifer Martin, who is what played D1 softball, lines a shot up the middle, busts him in the eye. It was the most gruesome black eye I have ever seen. I mean, it looked like Muhammad Ali knocked him out. And he had to go explain that to everybody. And then I would always make up like more wilder ways, because you could just, his whole face was like caved in for a week. And that's the best Navy. I'm not going to top that, so we might as well get out of here.
Becky, have we gone off the rails here with your five questions?
No, this is... Okay.
Rachel, it's like organized probably and like good. And when I come in, it's all like spitballed and
so
disorganized.
Hard to bring you in, so, you know, the best is not to try.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us live from the state capitol. Thank Republic Services. Want to thank the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Obviously, Becky, as always, thank you.
Of course, it's fun.
Travis Zimpfer, you're the best. If anybody could hear me, I'm hugging him right now.
Oh, man.
On the head. I love this guy. After nice you job. Get smart, come and try.
After,
and,
after smart. You go get smart.
He's going wow. getting smarter. Out, he's going to come smarten me up back here a little bit. He always has a home in this room where we've been very fortunate to have him. Jack Cardetti, Phelps County's own. You and Steelman should have a arm wrestling match or something for the King of Phelps County. Politics.
I'll outlast him.
Love it. Love it. Know. And with that, the hammer's dropped down. We'll see you next week.